What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
The head of the Monetary Authority of Singapore, Ravi Menon, is warning homebuyers, developers, and banks to be more cautious when buying property. Menon says that, quote, euphoria has struck the property market, and people need to ask whether demand will be able to match the big supply of flats that's coming on stream in the next few years. Speaking at the MAS annual report media briefing, Menon also said that Singapore's foreign reserves grew by $8.5 billion in the past fiscal year. Turning now to the markets. Markets across Asia and Europe are trending downward today on the back of losses on Wall Street overnight. In Europe, the FTSE 100 is off 0.1%, and the DAX in Germany is off about the same amount. Here in Asia, the China and Hong Kong markets have taken the biggest hits, this with trade concerns taking front stage. Shenzhen fell nearly 2% today, Shanghai and Hong Kong about 1%. Here in Singapore, the Straits Times Index has done better than most other markets. Let's check in with the latest number. The Straits Times Index has, updating the screen, finished up 0.25%. That's about 9 points higher at 3,244. Earlier, I spoke with Terrence Wong, the CEO of Azur Capital. His company invests mainly in small and mid-cap stocks. Terrence describes himself as a stock picker. So I decided to pick his brain on how best to choose stocks, and I asked for a stock tip as well.
Financial updates.
Picking stocks is really just a lot about buying business and looking at the fundamentals of the company. That's one major focus of mine. I really need to understand what the company is all about. And given that many of the companies that I'm looking at are in the small mid-cap space, I have to be very, very comfortable with the management, because management can make or break business. Even though the business may be in a very, very good position, they have a very commanding lead over its rivals and the earnings are growing, but if the management were incompetent, if the management decides to go wayward, that could impact the company. So a lot of times I will focus a lot of my energy on looking at the management.
So it's not simply enough to look at price earnings ratio or net asset value or something like that. You want to know who's leading the company and are they doing a good job?
Yeah, that's right. I look at both quantitative as well as qualitative aspect of the business.
And do you get that just from meeting with them, or is there something that a listener can do to get a sense of whether the management is good or not?
Well, I think it's more than just simply meeting with them. It's also a lot of channel checks. So the more you meet people, the more companies you actually analyze, you can actually create a web of it, and you can have channel checks and listen to what other people have to say about the business, the management of a particular company they are keen to invest in.
All right, so for the benefit of our listeners, could you recommend three stocks that they should evaluate and consider investing in now?
Well, I think that given that Singtel has been hit very hard, right now it's trading at very palatable levels. VBITDA is only at 5.5 times versus 7 times for its peers. It has dividend yield of close to 6%. For big cap, I think that's very, very sweet. So Singtel, I think, is a safe play. I also like the property sector, even though in terms of stock, a lot of the companies have been a little bit depressed. I like the second largest property broker in Singapore, APAC Realty. I think that is going to see very, very strong growth, because if you are looking at the property sector, particularly the brokerages, they are more sensitive to volume as compared to price increases. So even if price don't increase dramatically and the volume does so, APAC is actually in a very, very good position to ride on it. I also like HRNet, which is Asia Pacific's largest recruitment agency. I think that the Singapore business is going to be very, very strong. Earnings are likely to be in the 20-30% range. It has over $300 million of cash in its coffers. All this will be used for either expanding its business overseas or rewarding shareholders. So I believe these three stocks will actually do well.
That's fantastic. You're picking stocks from three separate sectors, from telecoms, from property, and from human resources. Singtel, APAC Realty, and HRNet. Trade tensions rattled most Asian markets today, though many investors are staying on the sidelines ahead of the U.S. 4th of July holiday tonight. Shares in the China and Hong Kong markets were the hardest hit. The Shenzhen Composite closes down 1.8%. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong off about 1%. Singapore and Malaysia both bucking the downward trend. The Straits Times Index has finished up 0.25%, or about 9 points, at 32.44. Up in Kuala Lumpur, investors are largely brushing off the arrest of former Prime Minister Najib Razak. Najib Razak was brought to court today and charged with four counts of corruption for embezzling public money from the 1MDB fund. The FTSE Bursa Malaysia, meanwhile, closed up about 0.5% at 1,688. Investors like Azure Capital CEO Terence Wong are warning, though, that new revelations could still rattle the Malaysian markets.
Well, I think for Najib's arrest, the writing was really on the wall. And that's after May 9th election. People already know that something's going to happen to Najib. Last week, the Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir already made it very, very clear that Najib was going to be arrested. So it was just a matter of time. This is no surprise. And, well, even if he were charged, it will not have a big impact on the market unless they discover a lot more of these unknown unknowns.
So if, for example, there are more sounding debts or more allegations of graft and corruption, that then would be something for investors to take into account.
Yeah, that's right.
And that could potentially also impact Malaysia's debt.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm a little bit surprised at the way that is being defined in Malaysia. Last month, no, end of May, when the government, the finance minister Lim Guan Eng, was talking about the debt situation in Malaysia, they actually added in contingent liabilities together with debt. So I think the debt situation is not as bad as most investors, or at least investors made out to be back in May. There was like a huge flight out of Malaysia. A lot of foreign funds started pulling out of Malaysia when this was reviewed, as well as the fact that the Malaysian government was setting up this Harapan Fund calling for citizens to contribute to the coffers.
Thank you, Terence. That's a really interesting perspective. Let's turn the conversation now from Malaysia back to Singapore, where shares have been trading in a relatively tight range. Among the most actively traded counters today are DBS, UOB, and OCBC Bank. DBS and UOB trending higher, OCBC relatively flat. You're a stock picker. What is your take on the banking sector?
The banks have been hit very hard over the last couple of months. I think it peaked the first day of May, and the gap down has been fairly tremendous. Given that interest rates are rising, obviously that's favorable for the banks. But given that banks are also bellwether for the economy, and it definitely ain't going to be pretty if there's going to be a full-fledged trade war.
That's for sure. Well, we don't know exactly how that's going to pan out, but a lot of people say we already are at the start of a trade war and no longer just threats. What do you think this means for the Singapore market for the second half of the year? Are you bullish for those next 6 months, or are you taking a position of caution?
Well, I'm actually cautiously optimistic with the markets at current levels. I think many of the companies, because I'm a stock picker, so I do think that many companies are trading at very, very palatable levels. And based on the fundamentals and the delivery of earnings for this year and next, I believe there are quite a few good buys out there in the market.
Markets across Asia are trending downwards today on the back of losses on Wall Street overnight. Shares in the China and Hong Kong markets are the hardest hit, with Shenzhen down nearly 2% and Shanghai and Hong Kong off about 1%. Here in Singapore, the Straits Times Index is bucking the trend. It's currently up 0.25% or about 8 points to 32.44. On the most active board, we have DBS, UOB, Singtel and OCBC Bank all trending upwards, and Genting Singapore trending down. Trade tensions are still the big story, though many investors are staying on the sidelines as U.S. markets were open for only a half day overnight and are closed this evening for the U.S. 4th of July Independence Day celebrations. I spoke earlier with Terence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital. While he's cautious, he's also looking for bargains.
Every day people are expecting Donald Trump to come out to say something. But given that it's Independence Day, probably there'll be a break. So the markets have been soft. And I think that as we draw closer to July the 6th, which is this Friday, where the U.S. will fire its first salvo, largely affecting the agricultural products, that's going to be a date that a lot of people are looking at. All other news, whether it's a good or bad acquisition, positive profit alerts, all these will be relegated to noise, as I think the attention will still be on what the global reaction is going to be. And if you're looking at all markets, whether it's Hong Kong, China, ASEAN, Singapore, there's really nowhere to hide until and unless sanity sets in and we avert a trade war.
So given that the market is kind of on hold at the moment, waiting to see what's going to happen on Friday with trade, knowing that new tariffs are going to be put into place, what is an investor to do? What do you recommend to your clients?
it is probably a good time to take a look at the portfolio and to see which ones are going to be affected by the trade war. I believe that most portfolio managers would have already had in mind which ones are the ones that's being affected. Many of them are going for the more defensive plays, and I think that that's a decent strategy.
So if one does go for defensive plays, what does that mean exactly? What stocks would you go for?
Well, I think if you look at the Singapore market, a lot of the blue chips have been thumped down over the past 2 months. In fact, the index itself is down 10%. So you don't have to go very, very deep down into the small mid-cap space. Even the large guys are trading at cheap valuations. One of the larger caps that's relatively defensive will be Singtel. A lot of people know about it. But I think what they don't know is that going to be a very, very healthy dividend payout that's going to be coming, that's being dished out within a month. So that's 10.7 cents. And overall, I believe that Singtel will be giving out a palatable yield of 5.8%. Many investors are still worried. You know, there's going to be a fourth telco coming through. But if you look at among the three telcos in Singapore, StarHub, M1, Singtel, Singtel will be the least affected by the fourth telco because of its geographical spread, because of its business line spread.
So if someone buys into Singtel now, they can still collect the dividend when it's paid out?
Oh, yes. Definitely. It has not gone ex-div yet, so there's still some time for investors to actually enjoy this yield.
And would you buy the stock, collect the dividend, and sell, or would you buy Singtel and hold it for a longer period?
Well, if you look at the valuations right now, based on EV/EBITDA, which is the way investors should be looking at the telco, it is trading at about 5.6, 5.7 times EV/EBITDA, which is attractive compared to its regional peers, about 7, 7.2 times. And I think that this is going to be a keeper at these levels.
Over the past year, shares of Singtel have fallen some 23% from a high of $4 to just about $3.07 now. We've been speaking with Terrence Wong of Azure Capital. He thinks that Singtel is now a good buy.